show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn, a Baseball Prospectus affiliate. The weather itself has chosen to give us some ups and downs, but unfortunately, the Royals have only given us downs in that regard. So we'll get to that in a minute, but before that, introductions, of course. I'm Jeff Herr, and with me, as always, the man who is never down, always up, Michael Engel. Mike, how are you doing on this, quite honestly, crappy evening here in Kansas City? I'm not sure if the weather's much better in Lawrence, but it's pretty bad here right now.
It's at least partly cloudy, so there's a little bit of blue sky. It's not, like, warm, but it's not cold. So there's that.
Yeah, I guess crappy may have overstated it. We're about the same, but it's just I'm done with it, though. I'm done with all of
yeah.
it. I want some sunshine. I want to go outside.
Yeah, it was like 70 degrees yesterday. It was perfect.
Oh, that was so nice. We took a walk. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. But now it's like, well, no, we're still not sure. It's like, well,
God.
All right, man. Whatever you want to do, weather. Whenever you're ready.
Whenever you're ready. And whenever you're ready could be a question, or it could be directed at the Royals, as in whenever you're ready to play some baseball, you let us know and you can do it. Unfortunately, we've no indication that that will happen anytime soon for the Kansas City Royals.
No.
As negative as that sounds, it may actually be worse in reality. The Royals have not won a single game since we last recorded. So there is that. They lost today, got absolutely smoked by the Blue Jays, 15-5. Today being, of course, April 18th. Yesterday was tax day as the accountant, so I hope you guys all got your taxes in. Maybe the Royals are worried that theirs were all screwed up. So maybe now that, you know, tax day is over, everything's good, maybe the Royals can start. Well, who knows? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
I got nothing. But I'm searching here, searching for something. But, you know, it's been bad. The Royals are 3-13. They are have narrowly avoided being the worst team in baseball, thanks to the futility of the Cincinnati Reds and the fact that the Reds have played more games, because the Royals have had quite a few quirky happenings recently in terms of being able to play games and getting them played. You know, there's this past weekend, the Royals, we talked all last week, or not all last week, but in the show last week, about how excited we were to see Shohei Ohtani and him pitching against the Royals and playing against the Royals. He did play, but he did not pitch as he was scheduled to, because that game was weathered out. I don't know
cold,
what you would say.
Colded it out? Freeze, frozen out,
out,
I guess.
Frozen out. Freeze out. That's a good one.
It wasn't
raining.
No.
It was really cold. And, you know, not conducive weather, but, you know, kids' soccer leagues were still having their games. So, you know, it is what it is, I suppose.
Well,
but anyway, so that happened. And then the Royals made the trek up to Toronto to play the Blue Jays. All the while, the Blue Jays and the Rogers Center staff are is that what it's still called? I don't even.
I still call it Sky Dome, because
Sky. Yeah, okay.
It's always going to be Sky Dome to me.
Right. Like Mile High Stadium in Denver.
Exactly.
Whatever they want to call it now.
Or Sandstone Amphitheater.
Exactly.
Really?
Sandstone,
I mean,
definitely. Still to this day, people are like, "Oh, let's go out. They're playing at Verizon."
It's like, what is Verizon?
Oh, you mean Sandstone? Gotcha.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, the Royals, after weird weather, start traveling up to Toronto, and they, in the midst of this, the Blue Jays Twitter account is sitting there talking about how, hey, all these games being canceled all across the country, don't have to worry about it up in Canada because we got a dome, right? We're awesome. Essentially, it was their point. So they're doing all this. And then as the Royals get up to play, all of a sudden we hear, oh, well, actually a giant sheet of ice fell onto the Rogers Center and into, I can't remember exactly how it all went, but caused some issues. They had to cancel the game that day. So that's the news we hear. And then we hear, I guess with the Royals, some at some point when they were traveling around Toronto, they, you know, they had two team buses, one following the other, as you do. Well, apparently one piece of ice, sheet of ice, icicle, I don't know, decided to go
Final Destination.
Damn it. I couldn't remember that. I was blanking on the name, but decided to go off Final Destination on the road.
I wanted to make a joke all day about that when that happened, but like I wasn't entirely sure that like everybody was okay, and then they were, and then the moment was just gone.
Yeah, it was over after that. But
yeah.
Sheet of ice, piece of ice, whatever, flies off the bus in the front, hits the second bus, completely shatters the windshield, goes through it, hits the driver, and then who was it that
it was Blaine Boyer, who Blaine was sitting Boyer, near yes. the front, grabbed the wheel to keep him on the road.
Of all people.
And the replies on Twitter were, of course, it's the only save all season he'll make. So.
The only save all season. The only thing he can keep straight.
Yeah.
Whatever pitching joke you want to make, but you know, props to him for being able to act quickly in that scenario and save some possible injuries and who knows, maybe even lives, depending on how bad it could have been. But you know, thankfully, no one was hurt. Everyone was perfectly fine, and it just turned out to be a funny story. But man, it was, you know, after all the weather and everything, and they go up, and then it's like, oh my God, really? They're closing. Weather has caused a dome to close. It's been so bad. And then you hear this about the road. They showed a picture, too. I think it was Rustin Dodd that tweeted it out. It was insane because, you know, the buses have those big, you know, big sheet windows as the windshield, and just the whole thing was completely spider web cracked and shattered. I mean, it was nuts.
Yeah.
So that whole thing was. Like I said, thankfully nobody got hurt, so we can all kind of laugh about it. But pretty nuts that just that, you know, 3 days of craziness that happened around this team.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they've had four different postponements already. So I mean, they got a doubleheader in yesterday to make up the game that they missed, you know, because of the dome. But they've got a doubleheader on Friday. They've got a doubleheader the following Saturday. They're going to have to make up the game with the Angels. And it's just like, just the, you know, crazy weather that you usually don't see this time of year. But even then, like two games that are canceled, not really directly because the actual conditions on the field were like too poor. It's just that it was too cold. And that there was a safety concern with the dome. It's just, it's crazy. It's, nothing's like working out so far in this early season. And, the baseball gods are displeased, I guess.
Very much so displeased. And, you know, I don't know if, I suppose we could blame it on the weather if we really want to, but I don't know if that's even good enough of an excuse to talk about how the Royals are playing currently. Because as I mentioned at the top of the show, they have not won since we last recorded. They're now 3-13 after the loss today. And, you know, I mean, we talked last week about, I don't know, maybe there's some semi-bright spots, I guess. You know, I mean, Lucas Duda hit another home run. Moustakas hit another two more home runs since the last show. He's got, you know, he had a couple RBIs today, so he's got 13 RBIs on the season. I mean, he's having a pretty good year, but that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, it's been ugly.
You really have to strain your eyes to find the bright spots so far. And there's a lot of darkness. So it's just, I don't, at 3-13, like, that, it's pretty clear not a lot has gone right. I mean, they gave up, what, 11 runs in one of those games in the doubleheader against Toronto. They gave up 15 today. They had a 4-0 lead yesterday in Duffy's start, and bullpen gave that away right away. So, you know, when you also look at that and you consider that the Royals have scored 12 runs combined in their three wins and basically have given up that many in two of the games that they played in Toronto, that's just not good. I mean, they're literally at a point where, and this point's been made, it's going to be a running joke until it isn't, that the Royals can't win when the other team scores. Because so far, the only wins they have are shutouts.
Look at that.
That's it. 2-1-0 shutouts and a 10-0 shutout. Just amazing. I don't know. It's rough. I mean, and there's, you know, the weather, yeah, I think maybe the weather affected a little bit. Maybe
both
the hitting
teams gotta
early.
Play it, though.
Right, exactly. And it's like you can say, well, it's hard to hit in the weather, but the White Sox didn't have a problem on opening day hitting. They hit the crud out of it on opening day, and it was terrible outside. So that's definitely not it. It's, you know, a lot of guys had some slower starts. We saw Jorge Soler start 0-for-11, and then he kind of had a couple of days where he you know, went crazy, and then he slumped again, and now he's kind of got a couple of hits. I think he's got a four-game hitting streak, and he hit a homer today. Whit Merrifield hit his first homer today. He looks like maybe he is kind of waking up. But I don't know. I mean, other than Moustakas and Duda, nobody's really producing a lot of runs. And, you know, if those are the only two guys doing it, well, it's kind of hard to do that because they only come up four times a game. And, you know, the bottom of the order is pretty poor. I mean, we've talked about it a bit last week where you look at this lineup without Sal Perez, without Jorge Bonifacio, it's pretty rough. You know, you get past the cleanup hitter, basically, and there's not a lot of scary names behind that. And, you know, that doesn't help. You know, Abraham Almonte's played a little bit more than one would ever hope over the last week.
He did hit a home run yesterday.
He did.
So congrats to him for that.
He's like 1-for-10.
That
total.
Might be his only hit on the season. Oh, no, he's got another hit on the season, so.
Yeah. So 2-for-20, I don't know.
Hey,
I mean, doesn't matter. It's just
1-2-for-17.
Oh, okay.
July.
So I was not
you
giving
were close.
Him enough credit.
You were close. Yeah. Give him that credit.
Give him that extra 0.04 batting average points. But, you know, the real problem is it's been the bullpen. I mean, look at all the games that they've already blown. You know, they blew one in Toronto in that Duffy start. They blew one in the first series of the year. They've blown a couple of others. And it's like as soon as you hand the ball off from any of the top four starters, who knows? You know, Kelvin Herrera has two save opportunities. He's getting into games to basically get work at this stage, other than last night where he came in to kind of put out a fire, which he did. I don't know why he didn't start that inning, but whatever.
Is what it is. Don't argue.
Yeah. I mean, it's people aren't going to change. Ned's not going to change that much. So, yeah, I mean, basically the bullpen has been Kelvin Herrera, and it's been two Rule 5 guys who have looked all right, pretty good, and it's been Tim Hill, who's a 28-year-old rookie. So those are your guys. That's it. You know, it's just not a lot to kind of work with. So I don't know. To that end, the Royals sent Brandon Maurer down to Omaha. He still had an option left. So he is pitching in AAA. They called up Kevin McCarthy, who probably a better option at this stage. Blaine Boyer has given up 14 earned runs in 5 innings. Justin Graham, who looked okay for his first few outings, he gave up 6 runs today, got 1 out, and had kind of melted down the last 2 appearances also. So, you know, basically between Maurer, Boyer, and Grimm, it's pretty rough. I mean, those guys have really given up a ton of runs, and they haven't gotten a lot of outs to show for it. And, you know, if those are guys who Maurer was your setup guy, Grimm was the kind of second setup guy, well, that's going to cause problems. And so the bullpen now, you look at it, the Royals given up 81 earned runs, 45 of those have been given up by the bullpen. And, you know, that spoils a lot of decent starts by some of the good starters, like between Duffy, Kennedy, Hamill, and Junis. And Kennedy and Junis, their last turns weren't great, but Duffy was really good in his last start. They've got about a 2.96 ERA just for those starters, those four starters.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then Eric Skoglund has come in, and he's got 9 innings, and he's given up 10 earned runs. So you basically have Kelvin Herrera and those four starters, and then now and then the Rule 5 guys and Tim Hill.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Not a recipe for what I would call good baseball.
No, you can only cover so many innings between all of those guys. And at a certain point, you've got to be able to believe that if you take a 4-0 lead and hand it off to your bullpen, you can get your 9 outs without giving up that lead. But it's just that's too much to ask right now. So that's really got them, you know, it's not just that they can't hit, you know, to start the year, that they, at least the first 2.5 weeks or so, they were really, really quiet with the bats. You know, when they do get leads, the bullpen gives them up. So, I mean, it's just like, it's just, it's pretty miserable. It feels like the Ricky Bitalico, Ambiorix Burgos type of bullpens, where it's like, no reason to even, you know, yeah. Like watch the first 6 innings. And then just go about your business, you know, and don't worry about the results. That's what's developing right now.
Well, it's like we talked about with, you know, in that 13, 14, 15, 16 era where it was, if the Royals are tied or ahead after 6 innings, it's over. It's like you just said, it's the exact opposite.
The
now.
Inverse, yeah.
Even if the Royals have the lead after 6 innings, it's almost a guaranteed loss, which makes you think, or which is to say, how are the Royals ever going to get another win? Obviously, it feels bad right now because they're on a losing streak. They haven't won in over a week. You know, sky is falling. It doesn't feel good. So the Royals are going to win another baseball game, I think.
Probably.
But most likely. But it's, you know, it is that question, you know, when so I'm going to nerd out here for a second, but, you know,
It's unlike us.
Unlike us, right? But, you know, I play video games and such, and I like to play a lot of competitive games and, you know, specifically fighting games. And so when you look at those games, you look at matchups, you say, what's your win condition? You know, like when you have a certain character, you say, what's your win condition? What am I going to do with this character that's going to put me in a position to win this fight? So bring that question to the Royals right now, and you say, what's the Royals' win condition? You know, before, like we were talking about, when the Royals had that stretch in 13, you know, to 16 or so, their win condition was keep the game close until the 6th inning, and then force the team to make a mistake late in the game and have your bullpen lock it down. That was it. That was the recipe for success. It took them to 2 World Series and it won them a championship. That was how they did business. But now you look at this team and you don't have an answer to that question. You know, if you know your right. bullpen is bad and you know your starting pitching isn't that great, you know, or whatever, you say, okay, well, maybe we just got to outscore teams. Well, the Royals can't do that either. Their offense has been anemic so far. Okay, well, if our offense can't score, then we got to keep games close. We got to, you know, force the other team into making mistakes. Well, the Royals can't do that. They're not making a ton of contact. They're not having, you know, as is par for the course, not having a ton of great plate appearances. You know, they're like, okay, well, you know, we can back up our pitchers with some, you know, otherworldly defense in order to try and help them out and steal a few runs off the board that normally would go against us. Well, can't do that either because the defense just isn't what it was in years past. So, you know, where is it? Where is going to come from? How are the Royals going to achieve those wins right now? And when you look at this team at 3-13, with everything you just mentioned, talking about the bullpen, talking about what we have with, you know, basically Moose being the only player that showed up and done anything offensively, the answer is who the hell knows? No, I don't, you know, and we talked somewhat about this earlier in the off season, how, you know, we weren't sure where those things were going to come from, but there were a lot of these kind of ifs and, you know, what abouts and all that kind of thing that, well, if this, you know, and what about this player? And if that happens, then, okay, this is how the Royals can win, you know, more games than we expect them to, or at least as many as we expect them to. Well, none of those things have happened, and there's no indication that they will or may anytime soon. So it's, I mean, at this point, where do you see him coming from? Because I got to be honest, I don't know that I see anywhere coming from anything. You know, I think we talked about last week about how, you know, somebody of the three phases, starting, pitching, bullpen, offense, somebody has to step up and do something to really help this team get some wins. And until we see that happen, who knows? But I don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah. I mean, I think the offense will generally level back out to be a little more productive. Weather getting warmer, you know, guys getting a little more comfortable. And, you know, we've seen, like I said, Soler and Whit Merrifield and John Jay, they've all started to kind of show some signs that they're kind of getting back into a groove. And that will help quite a lot, because if those guys can be around Moustakas and Duda, that helps a ton. I mean, that gives you a 1-5 of guys who can be productive. Sal Perez, we talked about him last week. He's even farther ahead of schedule than I think we thought last week, because he played three games with Northwest Arkansas, hit a homer in one of them, had a sack fly. He caught, you know, most of the game in each of those games. He's going to be in Omaha already this weekend. So I think starting tomorrow, it'll be today because it's Thursday, he's going to be with Omaha. And so when you look at the schedule, you look at where the Royals are, they're going to be coming back to Kansas City on April 24th in less than a week. So maybe that means that Sal Perez is a week away from returning. And if so, and if he's healthy, then, you know, that helps quite a lot, because that gives you at least a power bat. I mean, he is who he is. He's not going to, you know, work the count a whole lot. He's not going to draw those walks. But the guy can hit doubles and homers, and if nothing else, he's much more of a threat than Drew Butera or Cam Gallagher, who have been trying to fill in for him. And I think both of those guys are better suited to be backups right now. You put them into a role that's more suitable for them. They can play two games a week until Perez is completely full speed, and then, you know, you see how it goes. That'll help quite a lot. You know, I'm not sure what else you can do on the offensive side. Because when you kind of look at it down in the minors, all the impact guys and all the guys who are on the 40-man who might jump up are, you know, they're really not quite there. You know, Hunter Dozier is playing really well. He's hit quite, I think he's reached base in like his last 10 games in Omaha. And, you know, he's hitting, you know, I don't know, 308, slugging about 460. So he's got really good numbers, but it's also a question of, well, where the heck do you put him? You know, it's really tough to find a spot for him, unless the Royals are prepared to put him in left field while Alex Gordon is on the DL, and put John Jay in center, which I think they could do, but I don't know if they're going to do that. You know, he's certainly not going to play over Lucas Duda or over Mike Moustakas the way they're playing right now. So, but that could help, you know, if that gives you like a number seven hitter and, you know, gives you a little bit more length in that lineup, that could help a little bit. Even though Dozier, you know, who knows what he's actually going to do at the big league level until, you know, he gets some actual at bats, you know, he might come up and not hit well at all. He might come up and be a phenom. We don't know, but he's at least playing well now, so that could help. But I think it really comes down to, like, there's a number of guys in the minors who might end up either by being added to the 40-man roster or by, already being on the 40-man and getting called up, that could help, particularly in the bullpen. You look at, you know, Scott Barlow was called up as the 26th man for the doubleheader in Toronto. He's pitched pretty well down in Omaha. He's got 10 strikeouts or 12 strikeouts and 10 innings pitched. Pretty strong there. Some other guys that could be added to the 40-man, like Mike Broadway, Josh Staumont, Richard Lovelady, Seth Maness, who was with the Royals for a little bit last year. Those are all guys who, if you ask me now, they're probably better than Blaine Boyer. They're probably better than Justin Grimm. They're definitely better than Brandon Bauer right now. So any of those guys...
Can I just say something right now?
Yeah.
The amount of joy that your hatred for Blaine Boyer brings me is immense. I appreciate your passion for hating Blaine Boyer as a baseball player.
There's nothing personal. I've never met him. I'm sure he's a great person, but I don't know why. Like, I went back to try to find it, and it sure feels like early March the Royals had decided he was going to make the team. Don't know why. He's thrown like three innings. Who knows? But even further down in the minors, you know, a lot of guys who are definitely better than Blaine Boyer, like Glenn Sparkman, who has pitched well and has, you know, made an appearance in the majors. It wasn't very successful, but he's different now. He could show up and do something. You know, Brian Brickhouse is throwing triple digits down in Wilmington. I doubt he'll probably make the jump this soon. It might be like September, but it's at least worth tracking. And if he's pitching well, they might jump him up just because what the heck, you know, what else are you going to do? Throw arms at the problem, see what happens. Another name that has surfaced, and Clint Scholes is really high on seeing what he can do. Jason Adam, who like 2015, 2016, just was not even playing. He was, you know, hampered by injuries ever since he got traded away for Josh Willingham. He's hitting like 97, 98 right now in double A, 12 strikeouts in 9.2 innings. So that's a potential arm if you wanted to add him and just throw him out, just see what he does. You know, what's he going to do worse than 14 earned runs in five innings? You know, I can't see how it's going to get much worse. But the main place that I think you're going to see some kind of action is Clay Buchholz, who was a minor league signee. He made his first minor league start for the Royals in double A. He's getting a lot of good reviews from all the reports. So when the Royals are talking about him, they're talking pretty highly about him after his work in extended spring training. But right out of the gate, 77 pitches in his first appearance, 4.2 innings pitched. He's going to be joining Omaha this weekend from the sounds of it. So, I mean, that puts him right in line. He's got an opt-out in his contract to be in the majors by May 1st. So that puts him in a spot where, okay, Eric Skoglund is having difficulty in the rotation. He has options. He can be sent down. You add Buchholz to the 40-man roster. Well, how do you get Buchholz, a minor leaguer, technically, onto the 40-man roster? Well, you designate Blaine Boyer for assignment. So it really works itself out. You can lose Boyer, and again, nothing personal, but you add Buchholz, who could be a pretty okay fifth starter if he's healthy, and you help the rotation. You can get in a new arm in the bullpen, and you put yourself in a position where you've got a lot more competent pitching staff. And so I think Buchholz solves a lot of problems, sets off the chain reaction. He probably takes Boyer's spot and, you know, puts you in a position where you've got some new arms, but, you know, they're probably better arms than Boyer and Grimm, who right now are pretty significant problems. So there's some guys who could potentially help. Whether or not they actually do, we don't know until they get here. But at least there are performers in the minor leagues who have done something, and they're potential options. And it's, you know, there's not a lot of incentive to stick with Boyer or Grimm if they're going to have outings like this. You know, so we'll see. Ned Yost said that they don't really want to make a lot of moves in the first month. I get that.
but at the same time, it's like you can tell a lemon when you drive it. It's like it's not going to get much better. I mean, it probably, you know, I think Grimm could maybe right the ship, but he definitely hasn't retained any kind of trust. So the Royals, it kind of benefits them to kind of bring someone up, see if Scott Barlow can pitch in middle relief. You know, then you find out down the line, well, we've got Scott Barlow in the bullpen in the future. You know, you're basically centered on finding who are going to be guys who fill out your roster in the next 2, 3, 4 years, whatever, and who are guys who can pitch well, play well, who you can trade off for prospects who might be filling out those spots in the next 2 or 3 years. And, you know, right now there are some names, but it's just kind of we're just waiting for the Royals to hit that point where they're ready to make those moves and make those changes. Right now they don't sound like they are, but, you know, they lost eight in a row. I mean, if not now, I don't know, you know, I guess they don't want to look like they're panicking, but
for whatever that's worth,
what do you, I mean,
it's to the point now where you say, if you're not panicking, okay, why not? You're 3-13. Like, I know it's early, but you know, how many times in a season do you want to be 10 games under 500? And what does that say about you? You know? So, okay, well, we're not going to panic just because we got off to 3-13. Why the hell not? What have you seen that means that you shouldn't panic? You know, if you're the Royals right now, and you know, to your point of bringing other people up, you know, it's like, yeah, there are some people that might be able to help and some different roles, but then you start getting into the lipstick on a pig argument. You know, like what value are you really getting from there? And then there's the kind of counter argument to all this that is, well, all this losing is actually good, because if the Royals got off to a decent start, they may have done what they did last year.
They might accidentally trade for Trevor Cahill.
Yeah, Trevor Cahill again. But, you know, now maybe it accelerates some things. Maybe they're really active in the trade market, sending players out, getting some more young pieces, trying to restock the farm system a little bit. And if you bring more players up, then maybe they you know, the sooner they do that, the more body of work they have, the better, the more they can get on the open market if the Royals are going to be in that business. So, I mean, are you in that camp? Are you ready to this early to dive in on that? Let's just try and drum up as much trade value as possible and send these guys away.
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't think they're going to be looking to make those moves right away anyway. But, I mean, if you get an offer, if someone wants to trade, you know, for somebody who's pitched well, like Kenley Jansen is pitching terribly and his velocity is way down. And so his cutter, which is pretty wicked at 98, it's not so much at 92. So if the Dodgers wanted to, they could probably make a pretty healthy offer for Kelvin Herrera, who looks fantastic. All of his
pitches.
I mean, he locked up Curtis Granderson on a slider last night, and the next batter just destroyed him with a changeup. And his velocity is back up to about 98-ish. So he looks great so far. He looks like those injury issues.
He looks like 15 Herrera.
Yeah, he's a cyborg. He got the warranty and refurbished some parts.
Yes.
I mean, if they made an offer, if they offered like Alex Verdugo, a heartbeat, I don't know if that's what they would do, but I mean, if they offered like a top five prospect, you have to listen to that. Some of the guys, I mean, like Duda, John Jay, those guys, technically they have to wait until June to actually be eligible to be traded, because it's not like a sign and trade, but I could definitely see that those guys are going to play a lot, and you see what kind of trade value they can kind of create. And when you look at Duda's played pretty well. He's played pretty well at first base defensively too. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't really even notice that Hosmer isn't over there. Like, it, you know, a lot of the thing that what people would say is like, well, you got to have Hosmer because those guys aren't going to trust whoever replaces him. Doesn't seem to be an issue. You know, guys don't seem to be holding back on trying to make throws. You know, he can make the scoops that he needs to. I think he's playing just fine. And so you look at where what Hosmer did, and I'm, you know, I wouldn't mind having Hosmer back, but I don't, you know, I don't miss him. What the Royals have is working out. So, you know, when you get to looking at those guys, yeah, they are building trade value. I don't know that a lot of them will be coming up soon, but I mean, if you get an offer, you have to listen at this point. Like, the writing should really be on the wall. There wasn't much optimism really going into the year, and a 3-13 start, that sure doesn't improve that picture. So if the Royals get good offers, yeah, they should try to, you know, see what they can get. And if they can bring up guys who might pitch well or play well who they can trade off, I wouldn't blame them at all for doing that. I don't think they would do that. I think they would still wait a while, but I mean, there's merit to it.
Yeah. You know, there are definitely worse things they could do, like trade for Trevor Cahill again.
See his last start, though? He started yesterday, and I think he went like 7 innings, struck out 8, didn't walk anybody.
Of course.
Jerk.
Well, because see, that's what he'll do. And the Royals would be like, oh, well, see, he did that. So he can do that every game for us. That's the tantalizing nature of Trevor Cahill's existence. But
I guess, but
done. I suppose.
Done with him.
Yes. Done with many things are the Royals. Like, apparently playing good baseball. Hopefully they're not done. But, I mean, it's, man, oof. It's been rough. You know, and it started to show with the attendance a little bit. You know, I think some of it is weather.
Mm-hmm.
It did, of course, naturally, as you would expect it to be. But let's pull up some numbers here and see what I mean. It's looked rather sparse on TV for the home games.
Well, even like opening day, I think the paid attendance was technically 30-some thousand. But
36, according to Baseball Reference.
There were not 30,000 people there.
They have not had another game, home or away, actually. I guess one more game in Cleveland, which it looks like that was probably their season opener. But was it there? Well, I can't remember. Was
I
that
think
Cleveland
so.
Season
I think it was.
But judging by the attendance, I would guess it probably was. But outside of those two games, they have not had another game over 16,000. Or I'm sorry, over 18,000.
Yeah.
Attendance, home or away.
And I think weather definitely would have a lot to do with that. Because, like, if I hadn't, you know, paid the money for the ticket for opening day, would not want to be in that game. Like,
no.
Forget the result. Doesn't matter. The Royals could have won 14-0. Don't care. I don't want to be outside in 32
degrees. It's like 35 degrees, whatever the hell
it was. It sucked. It was really uncomfortable. And it just was, no thank you.
I was uncomfortable in my office. just following along, not even watching or being at the game. So I can only imagine being.
Yeah, it wasn't fun, and it's basically for the whole season. That's pretty much been what the Royals in a lot of the league has played in. I mean, attendance is down in a lot of spots, not just the Royals. So, but I do think that I mean, even when the weather gets nice, it may be a little difficult to draw a pretty good amount. This year compared to the last few years, you know, bad play will do that. You know, you're going to start seeing those $4, $2 tickets, free tickets, you know, $6, $10, or I think they gave away tickets some of those bad years, like a bunch. I'm sure they'll probably end up doing it again just because the Royals want to fill it up. They want parking money. They want concession money. They want to be able to at least, you know, say that, hey, this many people came through the turnstile. But it's also like they're not putting a good product on the field either. It's really tough to convince someone that they need to go see this because, well, they're not playing well. And even when they do play well, they melt it down the last 2-3 innings. So it's a tough sell. And you know, I don't know exactly like how much they're down at this stage, but like it's pretty significant, right? Is that what you see?
Significant, sorry, for what?
For the attendance drop. I mean,
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know.
It's I guess I'll pull up last year's as well, just so we can get a comparison for the first few.
Even last year would end up being, you know, a team that had, you know, barely finished 500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 16 wasn't that great of a year, so 2017, maybe some optimism left, but I don't know. I imagine they probably drew better the last week or so, 2 weeks, as, you know, the farewell tour started.
Yeah, so I mean the first six games were on the road, but then they got back, and let's see, their next eight games were at home, and they never had less than 20,000.
Yeah, so
they haven't even reached that mark outside of opening day.
Right.
Let's see, they had, I don't even know if home games. I mean, it doesn't even look like there were only, at least in the first couple months of the season, there were only a few home games that even dipped below the 20,000 mark. You know, I mean, there's a Tuesday in early May. It was probably cold or something.
School's still on. So, yeah, I mean, that the typical things that you'll run into. But, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good chunk. At least, you know, if you're going from 20,000 being your floor to 18,000 being your ceiling, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. So, you know, what that means for the Royals moving forward, who knows? You know, that remains to be seen. I think they knew they were probably going to take a hit this year, especially if things didn't start out well. And yeah, it's probably been worse than they thought in both regards, both on the field and in the stands.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've always been a proponent of, spending your money specifically for entertainment value wisely. So, you know, I don't blame people if the Royals are not entertaining and you don't, you know, they got to earn that money that from people, you know, like there are still people like you and I that will go out to games because we find our own enjoyment, even if the Royals aren't playing very well. But if you're somebody who doesn't, you know, find enjoyment when the Royals are playing poorly, then, you know, that's your prerogative. You don't want to spend
why go out there?
Yeah. If you don't want to spend your money, then don't. And like I said, the Royals got to earn that. So it's, who knows? You know, they have the last 5 years. But this year might be a little bit of a different story. It certainly has been so far. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you know, Sal, he's had a schedule. He'll be coming back. I don't know if he's going to, you know, quote unquote, save them.
But things will probably, I mentioned this earlier today, things will probably start to kind of like settle down a little bit right when he comes back. Because, I mean, some of these relievers, they can't be this bad all year. I mean, at some point they're going to start getting a few more outs and guys will start hitting a little bit better and the Royals will no longer be on a, you know, 20% winning percentage.
Yeah.
They're worse now. You know, they're worse now that they lost today. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to start to look like, ooh, Sal Perez, you're going to see like, ooh, the Royals are 10-5 since Sal Perez returned. Well, okay, I mean, that's probably just regression because they're not going to be 3-13 out of every 16-game stretch. You know, they're going to have to win some games even by accident here and there.
Yeah.
It's just that's how it goes. Like, even really bad teams can usually win 50. So I think they're probably going to find their way to win some games, but, you know, it's just right now it sure doesn't feel like it. But Sal Perez will help. I mean, you know, he'll probably impact a number of games literally himself just by being at the plate. And maybe it is a boost. Maybe it is something where everybody feels a little more loose. They have another guy to help contribute. It's not so much, you know, putting guys out of position like Butera or asking Ryan Goins to hit sixth. you know. Ryan Goins,
which is never a good business plan.
I would feel weird putting Ryan Goins hitting sixth in like a minor league game. So it's like routinely, not routinely, but three or four times he's hit sixth in for the Royals, and it's just like it's not what he's made for. Ryan Goins' lot in life is not to be a number six hitter for like anybody.
Sometimes you just got to accept what you are. And when you're Ryan Goins, you're not a number six hitter. These things happen. It's okay. He's still a Major League Baseball player today, anyway.
Today.
And, you know, looking forward, you try and say, okay, well, is there possibly a place where the Royals can pick up some momentum here? And, you know, they're going from Toronto to Detroit. I mean, Detroit is not faring that much better than the Royals a couple games, but that's about it. So, you know, nobody was really expecting them to be all that great either. So, you know, maybe the Royals can try and get some momentum there. And then you look, you know, they got Milwaukee at home in interleague play, and, you know, Milwaukee came in with some high expectations and they're starting off okay. And then the White Sox, who, you know, they were supposed to be as bad as the Royals and maybe worse. And they've been a smidge better, mainly because they beat up on the Royals.
That'll be a 5-game series.
Oh, that's right, because they're doing the makeup game.
Yeah, they're doing the doubleheader. That's pretty rare. 5-game series is pretty rare.
Yeah, and I mean, the, you know, White Sox have won 4 games so far this season, 2 of them against the Royals. So
those shouldn't even count.
Exactly.
Like, you should have a handicap. If you didn't score at least 7 runs against the Royals in defeating them, the win doesn't count. So the White Sox, one of those would count. The other one, it was a 4-3 game. So
I mean, you know, it's basically like only one win. So you look at that and you say, okay, you know, it's not like playing the Angels, who are one of the best teams in baseball, you know, who they just finished up playing this weekend. You know, so you think, you know, and Toronto's off to a very good start as well. So they came in when they had some momentum. So I don't know. I'm looking for some bright side here. I mean, I guess if you're going to try and even things out a little bit, this stretch that you're looking at here isn't the worst stretch in the world. You know, like I said, Detroit, I mean, they're 5-9. Milwaukee's 9-9. And Chicago's 4-10 right now. So no winning teams for the next stretch of games here, which would be, let's see, 4 in Detroit, 2 at home against Milwaukee, and then 5 at home against Chicago, as you mentioned.
So weird, but okay.
Yeah, so that's 11 games against no teams with the winning record. And, of course, then they go to Boston after that, who's, you know, best team in baseball right now. But worry about that. Cross that bridge when you come to it.
Right. That could be a May problem.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what I expect. Honestly.
I mean, there's a certain point where it's like we had them at 72 wins. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people had them in that range or maybe even worse. So, I mean, it's not like we expected to contend. I just didn't expect to feel like miserable about wasting my time watching baseball, you know, by 9 o'clock. It's like, I just want something positive to kind of look for. Like, I want to see, you know, I want to watch because Whit Merrifield is a good player and I want to see him continue to develop. I want to see Jorge Soler turn it on and kind of, you know, really become that guy that they thought they were trading for. I want to see Duda defy, you know, the narrative of whatever. I want to see Moose just angry at the league, go out and hit 40 homers. I want Duffy to figure it out. I want Kennedy to bounce back. You know, I want to watch things that go well, even though I don't expect the team to necessarily win. And right now it's just like, literally you've got, you know, Mike Moustakas at bats and that's about all that's must watch right now. It's just like, it's tough. And it's like, I don't want to be burnt out, you know, and annoyed every day until September, you know, watching this team.
We've done that, you know.
Yeah, and it's like there was a point in 05 and 06 where I, you know, didn't watch nearly as much because it was just like, well, why bother?
They lost 19 games in a row in 05.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez. We don't want to go through that again.
No. But, I mean, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, so there's nothing we can do about it.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're looking for bullpen help.
That's true.
I threw a little in high school.
You know, I think I broke 50 miles an hour when they had the speed gun set up in the outside Kaufman one time. So I'm ready to roll here.
I might have touched 70, maybe at my best.
Yeah.
And then I had a change up that was really just what the normal fastball was.
And then I couldn't lift my arm for the next 7 days. But, you know, that's not important.
We don't even right. About that. It's fine. It was, you know, I was 16. Done.
What are you going to do, you know?
My shoulder makes weird noise sometimes. You know.
These things happen. You know, it's part of getting older.
Yes. But yes.
So anyway, you know, like I said, I don't know what I expect. I don't know what's left to expect. I just don't know. And it's kind of sad because, yeah, you feel it on the precipice right now of going back to the dark days, you know, and even the truly dark days were before we ever had this whole podcast thing, but the tail end of them were during the pod. So, you know, our early podcast days, it felt like, you know, we would just get on every week and it was just,
welp,
you know, welp. And there was kind of essentially complaining and bitching about what the hell's Dayton Moore doing. Ned Yost doesn't know what the hell he's doing, what's going on, all the rest. And then, you know, eventually things turned around. Thank God.
Eventually. Yes. Yeah.
And we've had quite good luck for the majority of our podcasting time, actually. So my point, I don't want to go back there is my point. Want to go back to those times. I don't know if I'm going to have a choice, but
no, I don't know.
Rather,
I mean,
not go back if we could.
This season, it's going to get interesting because by the time we get into, you know, late May, you're going to start getting into a lot of, you know, MLB draft kind of info. And that's going to be pretty fun just because the Royals have so many picks and it's going to be such a good opportunity to reload the farm system. They're going to end up in July. They're probably going to trade some guys off. I think pretty much anybody who's available could be traded. You know, I mean, the right deal might come along. And if you get a chance to get a bunch of good prospects who might be like, you know, 21 years old and playing well in AA, yeah, you probably want to add those guys if you can. You know, for players like Duda or Jay or Moustakas or Escobar or Herrera, who aren't going to be around next year, or even, you know, God forbid, Danny Duffy or Sal Perez or Whit Merrifield, you know, guys who are starting to approach 30 and have a few years on contracts. I mean, if those deals come along, you're going to have to listen to them. And so in 3 months, 4 months, a lot of the names that we're talking about may be wildly different just because there might be, you know, 10 significant prospect names, all-star kind of things, where it's just completely terrible. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully it's not as bleak as some of those mid-2000 years. And I don't think it will. I kind of feel like talent is there. But a lot of the really good talent, they're 19-year-olds in A-ball. So there's going to be a little bit of a wait. Just hope that the Royals can maybe bring enough guys who can be competent major leaguers so that we don't have to go through 6, 7, 8 years of a rebuild and then hope that that next group is good enough to do it. So, I don't know. It's a rough year. Hopefully it gets better.
Yeah.
Don't know that it will.
And you brought up the draft, you know, as we get closer to that, there'll be plenty more time to talk about it. But as this team tries to rebuild towards another period of contention, you know, if this trend continues and the Royals end up with a top five pick, they're going to need to hit on it because they've had some issues with that in the recent memory. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. We're not going to get into it now, especially as the draft approaches. Maybe we'll have Clint Scholes on again to talk about some of the Royals targets, or maybe after the draft and see, you know, get some scouting reports on who they drafted. We will see. But until wrap it up for us for this show. So we'll be back next week. Man, I hope we at least have one more win to talk about. something.
I mean, they've got a bunch of games, so they've got good odds, I think.
Yeah. Sure. That's, you know, sounds like it should be the case. The more games you play, the better your odds for winning, but you never know.
Not in the last week, though.
You know? No, not in the last week. So anyway, we'll leave you with that this evening, this morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening to the Yes, enjoy. Have yourself a very good weekend. And next week, we'll be back, as always. Until we get back next week, be sure to visit our sponsors. If you want to go out, hopefully, God, I'm really hoping the weather is nicer this weekend. And if it is, you want to get out, have some fun, go to Westport, hit up Kelly's Westport Inn. Always good times there. And then if you want more of that sweet, sweet Royals baseball coverage, we got you covered over at bpkansascity.com. Going to get got everything going there still. Well, of course still, but, you know, and now we're in starting to get in season. We're off to – put it this way. We're off to a better start on the site than the Royals are on the field in terms of content we're pushing out. So be sure and check that out. Got a lot of good stuff going up on there every single day. So be sure to visit our sponsors. Very much indebted to them. So, and thank you all for listening, as we are all indebted to you for keeping our show alive through listening and interaction and all the rest. We love to hear from you. Keep it coming. So we'll be back next week. We'll see you then. Until next time, thank you so much for stopping by. And as always, go Royals.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com.